We're holding on Nun Amud Beis, the third line of the wide lines. We learned yesterday about the fact that a Baskoyan who's Mazana gets Srefa, as the Torah says, and the question is what exactly we were talking about, what the order of precedence is as far as the four Mitzvot Beisdin, and one thing we pointed out is that there's Machloikas in what cases she gets Srefa, given that a regular Bas Yisrael, given that a Bas Yisrael, not a Kohen, and Arusa is going to get Skila if she's Mizana, and an Asua is going to get Chenek, in which of those cases does it apply to a Bas Kohen that she gets Srefa? So we had the Chachamim saying only when she's an Arusa, because otherwise, when she's a Nesua, are you going to downgrade her from Skila to Srefa? They hold that Skila is more stringent than Srefa, so therefore they would hold that, therefore, as we learned yesterday, the Chachamim hold that a Bas Koyen is getting Srefa only if she was a Nesua, if she's an Arusa, where, as a Bas Yisrael, she would have gotten Skila, then a Bas Koyen, she also gets Skila. On the other hand, we said Reb Shimon holds that no, either way, she's getting Srefa, and he holds, as we learned yesterday, that Srefa is more stringent than Skila, so in all cases, she's being upgraded. The Mesha Chochma, by the way, has a very interesting take on all of this. He learns that maybe even according, now we're going to have more opinions on the subject, on Nun Aleph Amud Beis, we're going to have Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, but he says that maybe even, you could even say that maybe there would be a possibility that she gets downgraded from Skila to Srefa. You're going to say, how could it be because she's a Bas Koyen, she gets downgraded according to the Chachamim, that Skila is more severe. The Mesha Chochma says a very interesting point. When you look at the Dalad Mrs. Beistin, only Srefa is unique. Srefa is exclusive to cases of Znus, to cases of Arayis. Skila, as we're going to learn in our Perek and the next Perek, you have a whole bunch of Averis for which a person could get Skila. Hereg, there's nothing to do with Arayis. It's only murder and being a member of an Eir Nidah and being one of the guilty parties and an Eir Nidahas. And Chenek, as most of the cases a person gets Chenek for, are not Arayis either. Srefa, all 10 cases where a person gets Srefa is all in connection with Znus or Arayis. So therefore, so giving her Srefa highlights very clearly to everybody that Esavia him Chalelis, that she's desecrated her father's name, as the Gemara is going to explain later on what that means, but therefore that might be a reason, according to everybody, that she gets Srefa in all cases, maybe even where she would have normally gotten Skila otherwise. Anyway, getting into the Gemara then, the third line of the wide lines on Nun Amud Beis. So now we're going to bring a Braisa and analyze it that discusses this whole matter of a Bas Koyen and the Srefa in more detail. Tana Rabbanan, the Pasuk says, Uvas Ish Koyen Ki Seichel. The Pasuk says, the daughter of a Koyen, when she begins. Now the word Seichel actually has a double meaning. It can mean to begin, but it can also mean to be desecrated. So if you only had that, if it didn't say the next word Liznois, you would think maybe even she's chayev Srefa, even if she was Machal Shabbos or did other Avedas like that. How do we know that it applies exclusively to Znus? Talmud Lema, Liznois, therefore the Pasuk continues with the word Liznois, implying B'chilulin Shabbos Akos Medaber. So the Pasuk is not talking about where she desecrates the Kedusha of Kahuna by doing other Avedas, such as Chilul Shabbos, only when it's talking about Znus. You would have thought, after all, given that maybe the Chumrah of Koyanim, as the Gemara is going to discuss this whole Braisa later on, you would think that maybe because of the Chumrah of Koyanim, maybe the punishment for her for Chilul Shabbos is different than it would be for everybody else as well. But no, we're saying strictly for Znus. Now, Yochala Philip Pnuya. Now, you would think that maybe she's Chayev, this Missa, even if she was a Pnuya, even if she was an unmarried girl and was Mizana with somebody. No, Nemakan Aviyah, Venemalahalan Aviyah. We have a Xerah Shava from the word Aviyah. We talked about previously at the beginning of the Perek, Xerah Shava from the word Aviyah, a different Xerah Shava from that teaches us something else. But here we're talking about a different pair of words, Aviyah, as Aviyah Himachalelas, and then where it says Liznus Beis Aviyah. Actually, it is the same Xerah Shava as before, but anyway, Malahalan. znus im zikas abal. Now, the case of a bas yisrael, where it says that she's given skila at the entrance of her father's house, is talking about where she was already connected with her husband. There was already erusin, because that's the pasuk describes that she was a naira moirosa and she was mizana, and therefore she's getting skila. So there, she had to be an arusa already. Afkan im zikas, so to say, afkan znus im zikas abal. The same way over here, the znus that we're talking about with a bas koyin, based on this gzeder shava, has to be that there's already some kind of connection to her husband. So she can't be a pnuya. If she was, in general, a pnuya is mizana, whether there's any specific punishment for that or not, the Rambam holds there'd be malchus for it, the Raiva disagrees, but in any case, misa, srefa, there definitely wouldn't be. Whether it's by erusin only or by nisuin, well, that was the machloikas of Reb Shimon and the Chachamim we had before, and we're going to revisit that machloikas later on. Next, the Braisa continues, maybe the word aviha means that only if she was mizana with her own father, then she's chayav this misa of sreifa, and not if she was mizana with somebody else. In other words, maybe we should read the pasuk, uvas ish koyen ki seichel liznes es aviha. If she desecrates herself and is mizana with her father, then he mechalelas, and she's desecrated herself and him, and therefore be'ish she started. How do we know that it applies to when she was mizana with other people as well? Maybe it comes to exclude if she was mizana with anybody else. No, because since the pasuk continues that she is desecrating and a heavy kol adam omer, then it means everybody else is included as well. So we're talking about that the pasuk is implying that she is causing him to be desecrated and not the other way around. He mechalelas, she is desecrating him. Now, if it was that she was mizana with him, then they're desecrating each other. So therefore, since it doesn't say that, therefore we have to understand that it means it applies equally well if she's mizana with everybody else. The Yad Ramah explains differently that the Esavia Himachalelas goes together, that way it's something where she's desecrating her father by being mizana with other people. In any case, so we see that it means not just when she was mizana with her father. Okay, halmani makayim aviha. So what do I mean? So what are we doing with the word aviha in the pasuk? So that's the gzeira shava. We said before, nemakan aviha v'nem lahalan aviha. We have the gzeira shava on the word aviha. Malahalan is nusim zikas abal, afkan is nusim zikas abal. Then it means exactly what we just said before, that it doesn't apply when she's a pnuya. It applies only when she's a married woman, whether arusa or nesua, according to the different opinions. Now, if that were the case, though, if we're going to take the Gzeira Shova from the case of a Naira Marosa was Mizana, then we would say, first of all, she has to be only a Naira, so she's within 6 months after Shtei Sidus, and an Arusa. Afkan, you would say maybe the same thing over here, the punishment of Srefa for the Bas Koyen is only if she's a Naira, Afkan Naira v'hi Arusa, but Naira v'hi Nisua. What about if she's still a Naira, but she's already gone through Nisuin, the second stage of marriage, Bergeras v'hi Arusa, or if she's already passed the 6 months and she's a Bergeras and she's still Arusa, Bergeras v'hi Nisua. Vatilu his skina, and maybe even if she's old, so she's not really under her father's. I mean, once she's vegeras, she's legally not her father is legally not under her father's rishus anymore. But then if she's old, then you can't really say that she's causing any disgrace to her father altogether. So how do we know minayin? How do we know that in all those cases there is srefa as well? Now again, as we learned yesterday, even according to the opinions that she doesn't get srefa when she's in arusa because she's already on the hook for skila, and therefore she's going to have to get skila, which according to the Chachamim is the harsher punishment, but nevertheless, everybody agrees that as a Nesua, whereas a Bas Yisrael, she would have gotten Chenek, as a Bas Koyin, she's getting Srefa. But if you only had, but Fakir, based on the Gzeira Shava, you might think it applies only to an Arusa and only if she's a Naira. So how do we know it applies to all these cases? Tamad Lema, Uvas Koyin. Therefore, the Pasuk says, and the daughter of a Koyin, so in other words, we learn from the extra Vav that it applies in those cases as well. That's according to Rashi, and we're going to learn later on in the sugya and in Aleph Amud Beis that Rabbi Akiva darshins the vav in that mean that Rabbi Akiva darshins the vav in that kind of way. Rashi also points out, you can't say that if it weren't for the Vav, you would just say that you would just say that since the pasuk doesn't specify one way or the other, that it includes all possible cases. Because after all, the Zeta Shava would have to tell us otherwise. So therefore we have to say therefore that we're darshaning from the Vav. Now Tosfos brings up a problem over here. The Gemara, if we're going to say that this Braisa is like Rav Akiva, the problem is that the Braisa is going to continue and say and talk about a case where she was married to somebody who was also to her in the first place. She was married, for example, to a mamzer or a nosin, etc. Now, according to the Chachamim, that's fine because Kiddushin are Tosfos in such a case. But Rav Akiva himself holds elsewhere in Tras in Yevamos, he holds that Kiddushin are not Tosfos in such a case. So in that case, how would the Braisa possibly be appointed Rav Akiva if he holds that in such a case she's not considered married in the first place? So first of all, Tosfos points out that maybe in fact Rav Akiva would distinguish between different kinds of chayve lavin when kedushin are tofus and when not. But also, anyway, Tosfos says the Braisa could be like Rav Shimon, and in fact Rashi says as much. Further on, Rav Shimon may hold like Rav Akiva as far as darshaning the vav, but not hold like Rav Akiva as far as with whom kedushin are tofus. So the Gemara continues, the Braisa continues. Now, when it says Bas Koyin, Eimli Elishim Nisus the Koyin. Now, so far, if you only had the word Bas Koyin in the pasuk, you would think that it means that only if she's married to a Koyin. Now, why would you think that? Why is she any less of a Bas Koyin if she's not married to a Koyin, if her husband is a Levi or Yisrael? We'll get to further down when we start analyzing the Braisa. But the Braisa continues, Nisus the Levi or Yisrael. If she's married to a Levi or to Yisrael, lo oved kechavim, if she's married to an oved kechavim, now generally that means a goy, but if she's married to a goy, kedushin are certainly not tofus. So in fact, the correct girsa, as you have in Kisra Yad, and then an early prince of the Gemara that didn't go through the censor, is kusi. Often you find that the censors took out the word goy or nochri or whatever and replaced it with kusi. Here we have the other way around. Somehow they got the notion that kusi over here itself was a euphemism for a goy, and therefore they replaced it with oved kechavim. But really what it means is a kusi. Well, you have the famous machloikas all over Shas, whether kusim are considered Jews or not. So here we're talking about that, here we're talking about according to the opinion and during the time when they were considered legitimate Jews. So Rashi points out that even though Rav Akiva does not hold that kedushin are not tofus, but there is within Rav Akiva's opinion, there is an opinion within Masechta Yevamos that explains that even Rav Akiva would draw a distinction between different kinds of chayve lavin, between whether it's a lav involving close relatives called a lav de she'er versus other kinds of relatives, so versus other kinds of lavin, the goy or the cholol, etc., that we're going to discuss over here. Is not a lab that has anything to do with relationships, and therefore, according to that opinion, Rabbi Akiva would say that kedushin are tofus with it. Rashi does seem to accept the girsa that we're talking about a goy over here, because Rashi mentions that you have the issur of loisis chatin bom, you have an issur of not to intermarry with the goyim. So that being the case, then when we may not be talking about kedushin. We're not talking about kedushin tofsim, but how is that? A bunch of achronim actually ask on Rashi, kedushin are certainly not tofus with a goy. So maybe what it means is one answer is that we're talking about one of the seven nations of one of the specific nations that are not allowed to intermarry into the Jewish people, the males from Moav and Ammon and so forth. Where even if they're misgayer, they're still not allowed to. So that's what we mean over here by Urbit Gechavim. We might mean them rather than that they are gayrim, but so therefore kedushin are tofus, but nevertheless they're still under an isur lav. But again, the other possibility is that a number of Kisra Yad have the Girsa Kusi, which would be different than what Rashi is saying, and according to that, we'd be talking about that case. Anyway, the Gemara, the Braisa continues, L'cholol, if she's married to a cholol, Which, by the way, the halacha is that she's perfectly allowed to marry a cholol, but nevertheless, she's also allowed to marry a Levi or Yisrael. But anyway, she becomes a cholola as a result of that. L'mamzer or l'nosin, or if she's married to a mamzer or a nosin, minayin, how do we know that in all those cases, the din that she gets srefa still applies? Tamad lema, therefore, the pasuk says, uvas ish koyin, a daughter of a man who is a koyin, so by adding the word ish, means, in other words, it doesn't matter what her husband is, it just matters what her father is. Afapisha ain't a kehenes, even though she is not considered a kehenes anymore. Nevertheless, her father is a kohen, and therefore the same dinim apply. Next, the Braitza continues. The Braitza continues. The pasuk says, "Esavir hi mechalelas." Esavir hi mechalelas. Let's focus on that word he. So we learn from he b'sreifa ve'en boil of a sreifa. We learn from that several dinim. First of all, that only she's getting sreifa, but not the boil. As we learned yesterday, the boil would be getting chenek or skila, as the case may be. He b'sreifa ve'en zemim meha b'sreifa. And also, as we learned yesterday, if there were edim zemimin against her, and if the edim against her turn out to be edim zemimin, then also we say that that they don't get sreifa, they get whatever punishment would have gone to the boil, chenek or skila, as the case may be. And again, as we've talked off and on the last couple of days, you have the question, does that apply across the board, or does that apply only if the boil is actually on trial as well, as opposed to if he's underage, or if he ran away, or whatever. Anyway, Rebbe Eliezer Omer, Rebbe Eliezer finishes off the Braisa by saying, Es avia bisreifa, ves chamiha biskila. Her fa es avia, there's sreifa, but es chamiha, with her father-in-law, there's skila. What does that mean? The Gemara is going to deal with in detail further down on the Amud, and going on to Amud Bey is what Rebbe Eliezer means by that phrase. Okay. Thus far the Braisa, let's start analyzing it. So you said, we started by saying that if it didn't say the word liznois, then you would think it means that even if she was mechal Shabbos, or some other issue like that, then she would be chayef sreifa. And therefore the pasuk says liznois. So the Gemara says, what do you mean chilul Shabbos baskila? If she was mechal Shabbos, then she's getting skila, not sreifa. So what are we saying? That if because she's a baskoy, and therefore we should downgrade her from skila to sreifa? Omar Rava, Hamani Reb Shimon. So Rava says, because our Braisa is like Reb Shimon, Dama Sreifa Chamura. Whereas we learned yesterday, he holds that Sreifa is more stringent. So, Sakadai Chamina Hoyova Achmir Behu Rachmana Bakani, since we find that the Torah is Machmir on Koyanim, Rabbi Behu Mitzvah Yiseiris, the Torah puts so many extra mitzvahs on Koyanim, there are restrictions who they can marry, they can't become Tomei, etc. Now, to be sure, those apply only to male Koyanim, but still, the point is that there are special dinim that apply to Koyanim. And on the other hand, they have the positive thing, they have the mitzvahs of serving, and they have the mitzvahs of serving in the Beis HaMikdash. You're going to say, well, what about women? They don't serve in the Beis HaMikdash, and they don't have these marriage restrictions and all. But the fact is, they also have, for example, they also eat truma and they eat chos of a shoik. And they have a few other things as well, the mitzvah of giving certain parts of an animal to a kohen. You can also be mekayin by giving to a daughter or a wife of a kohen. So given all of that, that kohenim have all these extra mitzvahs, you would think, tiden b'sreifa, maybe that would be reason enough to give her sreifa, according to Reb Shimon, that sreifa is harsher than skila, kamash malon, therefore that is why the pasuk had to say the word liznois, to say that no, this whole concept of sreifa applies only when it's a matter of znus. Okay. The Gemara says, Maishna Minedide. Now, why indeed? Still, maybe you would say that, what's the logic, though? Why would we think that a Bas Koyan is any different than a Koyan himself? Why would we think that, fine, if we're going to say it's a matter of that the Koyanim have extra mitzvahs, then that would require us to say, if we were to say that, if it weren't for the Woodless Notes, that all koyanim get sreifa, according to Reb Shimon, that sreifa is the harshest punishment, that all koyanim get sreifa for chilul Shabbos. Instead, even according to Reb Shimon, a male koyan with machal Shabbos gets skila, only a bas koyan, we were saying, if it weren't for the word liznois, would get sreifa. So what's the haba? I mean, it's a think that she should be any different than he. And the answer is Sakrad Hamina, because you would have thought like this. Because it's one thing with a male Kohen, after all, Shabbos is exempted for him when it comes to the Avodah. He does the Avodah, even when it's Shabbos, even though that involves a number of Malachas. So therefore, you could say that that might be a logic to say that that even if he's Mechal Shabbos outside the Avodah, of course he needs to be punished. But maybe we would say, therefore, that in a way it's not so bad because after all, there are exceptions anywhere where he's not Chayav for Chilul Shabbos in the first place, and Adrabo where it's a mitzvah. But you would say with a baskoyin, given the loy shtari Shabbos lagaba, we never find an exception. We never find an exception to this concept that she can't be Mechal Shabbos for the Avodah, because she doesn't do the Avodah. Amos Tidin B'Sreifa, you would maybe think that she is Chayiv Sreifa, Kamash Malon, and that's why we needed the word Liznois to tell us that not. Now, the Orach HaNer in this connection points out that, after all, the fact is that even though the Pasuk says it's Aviyahim Chalelah, she's degrading her father, it's only through Znus that happens. Even she breaks Shabbos, for example, is not a reason to say that it's Aviyahim Chalelah. In fact, as we're going to say further on, we know that when certain kinds of znus passel her from eating truma, but we don't find, for example, that let's say if she's Mechal Shabbos, that she should be passel from eating truma, So that's a reason to say that it applies exclusively to znus, and therefore the pasuk in fact says exactly that by adding the word liznus. The Torah Chaim doesn't really like that, because the Gemara mentions further on, we're going to learn on Daf Nun Beis, that really anytime she does an Aveira, then anytime she does an Aveira, or any Rosha is considered degradation of his father. Rather he gives a different answer that that piece of Gemara over there is only according to Rabbi Shmuel, which we're going to talk about later on, but we're saying that that still the word liznois in the pasuk mentions is saying that this whole concept applies only to znus and not to other kinds of averes. And Tosfos also points out earlier, by the way, that we had the question, maybe the word Aviha means she's Mizana with her father, and only then is there Srefa, not in any other case. Well, once it says that, once we have the word Liznois to tell us that it means only Znus, then clearly, and also we have Xeda Shava from the word Aviha, so clearly we see it's talking about Znus, so anyway, why would we have thought that it applies to Chilul Shabbos such that we would need Liznois? Once we have Xeda Shava from the word Aviha, we wouldn't need that anyway. And Tosfos says, because then we would have thought that the Xeda Shava tells us something else, that it excludes a Pnuya, so maybe it would be both. If it's Znus, then it has to be. She's not a Pnuya, but if it's not Znus, then Chilul Shabbos would also work and should be Chayav Srefa for that. The word Liznois makes it clear that not, it's only in the case of Znus. Continuing to analyze the Braisa, we said Yochel Afilu Pnuya. We said you would think if the Pasuk didn't tell us, if we didn't know otherwise, that this whole concept applies even if she's a Pnuya. So the Gemara says, what do you mean, hold Liznois? What do you mean? The Pasuk says Liznois. The word Znus literally means to go astray. So it means, in other words, that. So it means that she was with her husband, and she goes astray from him. So almost by definition, it can't apply to a pnuya, because the word znus means yotza, she goes away from under the reshus of her husband. Rashi brings a pasuk in Hosea that gives this meaning. So by definition, it can't apply to a pnuya where she doesn't have a husband. So why would we think, once we have the word liznois, why would we think it applies to a pnuya? So the answer is Kidder Rabbi Lazar. The answer is the Braisa holds like Rabbi Lazar. He holds in Yevamos that if an unmarried man and an unmarried woman have relations together, not for the sake of marriage, just for znus, then Rabbi Lazar holds that she's considered a zoina insofar as she's possible to marry a koyan. As we know, a koyan can't marry a zoina, so Rabbi Lazar includes in the definition of zoina for that purpose a pnuya. So we see, according to him, that the word znus has a broader meaning than just an eshes ish. So therefore, according to him, you would have thought that it applies, even if she's a pnuya, and therefore the pasuk needs to tell you with Xeda Shava that no. All right, we said in the Braisa, Oyena Oma Aviha El Lahotzias Kol Adam. So we said in the Braisa, you would think maybe the word Aviha means that not if she was Mizana with anybody else, only if she was Mizana with her father. So the Gemara says, Ella, my new shizinsa meavia. So what are you telling me then? The Braisa would say, if it weren't for the limud that we said, if it weren't for the words himachalelas that we said before, we would have thought it's only talking about when she's mizana with her father. My iria baskoyan. Well, then why bother mentioning it in connection with the baskoyan after the bas yisrael nami? Wouldn't the same din apply to a bas yisrael as well? Among the cases, except for a baskoyan, all the other cases of srefa involve a man with his daughter or granddaughter or mother or grandmother, or mother-in-law and grandmother-in-law, etc., as we're going to learn later on in the ninth perek. So a man with his daughter, they're chayv srefa anyhow. So if it weren't for the words himachalelas, what would we think? If bas koyin and zana with her father, she's chayv srefa, and if she was a bas yisrael, she'd also be chayv srefa. Now, how do we know that? It doesn't actually say anywhere in the pasuk in so many words, do not have relations with your daughter. The pasuk says don't have relations with your granddaughter, and the pasuk prescribes a punishment for it. But how do we know that a daughter is also one of the arayas? Omar Rava, Omali Rav Yitzchak Barav Gimi, Asya Hena, Asya Zima. We have two Gzeira Shavas that tell us regarding the warning not to do it and regarding the punishment not to do it. Namely, by a granddaughter, the pasuk says ki avoscha hena, and then you have a riot of a woman and her daughter. That if a man has married a woman and she has a daughter, so she's his stepdaughter, she's not biologically related to him, but still the pasuk says also that his wife and her daughter or her granddaughter, the pasuk also says on it hena shara hena. And therefore, that's a warning to not have relations with them. So the same way, now we see in the pasuk, we see when it comes to the woman, that when it comes to the wife and her children, her daughters and granddaughters, it mentions both daughters and granddaughters. So therefore, the word hena that it mentions in connection with granddaughters of one's own granddaughters also includes the daughter. So that Gzeira Shava teaches us that the daughter is also one of the arayas, even though it doesn't say explicitly so in the pasuk. Again, I probably said it a little bit not so clearly, but to explain, since the pasuk says by the case where a man marries a woman who already has a daughter from a previous marriage, and it says that if he has relations with the woman herself and her daughter, or the woman herself and her granddaughter, then that's an isser. It's an isser arayas. We learn from the Gzeira Shava that the same way, when the Torah speaks of one's own granddaughter, it also includes one's daughter. So that's the Gzeira Shava of Hena Hena that teaches us that it's Osir. And Asya Zima Zima, and then we have a Gzeira Shava from the word Zima, where again it mentions as far as the case where as far as a man with his wife's daughter, if the pasuk says Zima he. And then by a case where a man marries a woman and then also has relations with her mother, where the pasuk says Zima he, the pasuk also calls it Zima. And the pasuk says that they get srefa. So the Gzeira Shava tells us that the same thing. When a man has relations with his daughter, then they're both chayiv srefa. So that being the case, and by the way, the Gemara elsewhere points out, you see how important the Gzeira Shava is. If it weren't for this Gzeira Shava, we would be missing an entire mitzvah in the Torah. The Rambam, by the way, mentions in a couple of places, attack a widen the Torah spell out in so many words, don't have relations with your daughter. And the reason is because it's fairly obvious. Once it says don't have relations with your granddaughter, then we would understand all the more, if you're the daughter's daughter, then we would understand how much more so your own daughter. So the pasuk didn't need to spell it out. And in principle, we could have learned it from a Kal Vachomer, but because we have a rule called Ein Onshin Min Adin, we can't punish based on a Kal Vachomer, therefore we needed the Gzeira Shava. In any case, the point is, getting back to the Gemara, so again, a regular any person is mezana with his daughter, then there's srefa involved. So what are we saying over here in the braisa before that if it hadn't said the words he mechalelas, we would have thought the bas koyin is chayiv srefa only when she's mezana with her father. In that case, it wouldn't matter whether she's a bas koyin or not. Either way, there's srefa based on these gzeira shavas. And the answer is itzrich. We still need the words himachalelas. Sakrad chamina, because otherwise you would have thought, kro la puki midirava, maybe indeed the pasuk is telling us not like Rava says, that in other words, don't pay attention to those gzeira shavas. Maybe we would say that normally there is no srefa for a man and his daughter together, and only by bas koyin is there. So therefore we'd say midi gali rachmana b'bas koyin v'loy b'bas yisrael, precisely because the pasuk mentions this concept only by bas koyin and not by bas yisrael. So therefore, maybe indeed it doesn't apply to a Bas Yisrael at all, and the whole Gzeira Shava that we said before wouldn't, apply. So in other words, maybe we'd say the Ran explains, you can't just throw out Gzeira Shava. The Ran explains, fine, maybe the Gzeira Shava would tell us that there's only an Azhora Ba'alma. There's a lav involved, but not necessarily that there would be Srefa involved. So Kamash Malan, therefore, the Pasuk saying, by saying Hima Chalalas, clarifies for us that no, the Gzeira Shava we do actually use to say that there's a lav and that there's Misa involved, namely Srefa. And then in addition, we also have, by Bas Koyin, on top of that, if she's Mizana with anybody, not just her father, then she's Chayiv Srefa. Okay. Continuing in the Braisa, we said Bas Koyin, we said when the Pasuk says Bas Koyin, Ein Li Ela Shenisses Le Koyin, well from that you would only know if she married a Koyin, Nisses Le Levi Di Yisrael Ol Kechovim Ol Chol Ol Nosin Ol Mamze Minayin, how do we know that it applies if she marries anybody else, including ones where Kiddushin, and including ones where there's an Isur Lav involved, and as far as the Oved Kechovim, we discussed in detail before what that means, whether it actually means a Goy, or whether it means a Kusi, or whether it means a Ger from one of the nations who can't intermarry into the Jewish people, whatever. The Brai said, Tamud Loma Bas Ish Koyin, therefore the Pasuk says the daughter of a man, a Koyin, and by adding that extra word man, we're saying that it only matters that her father is a Koyin, not who her husband is. So we learn from that, Afafisha ain't a Kehenes. So we learn from that, even though she's not considered a Kehenes at this point. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? She's not a Kehenes. Mishum de insvalahu lahani la bas koyenhi. What do you mean? Because she marries one of these people, that makes her no longer a bas koyen. She's still a daughter of a koyen. The two, midi kehenes la koyen, and also, anyway, does the Pasuk even say anything about a kehenes married to a koyen? It does not. It just says a bas ish koyen. So why was there, so regardless, she always remains a bas ish koyen. Why would we even have a hava a minute to think that if she's married to somebody outside of the koyenim, that maybe this din shouldn't apply, such that we had to use the word ish to tell us not? Why would we have thought that way? And the answer is Sakrat Hamina, because you would have thought like this. Ki Seicha Liznes Amarachmana. The Pasuk says that she got desecrated through Znus. Now, you would think, Hani Mili, therefore, so you would think it applies only Heicha de Kamatchala Hashta, only where the first aspect of her becoming desecrated and her losing a certain degree of her status as a Bas Koyen is only when it begins now with the Znus. Avalha, but in the cases, at least when she's married to a Levi or Yisrael, maybe not, but after all, when she's married to a Cholol or a Mamzer or a Nosin, Kivin de Kamaschol of a Kaima Meikra, she is, after all, considered Mechulelas already, as soon as she gets married, de Omer Mar, and we know, because the Pasuk says, regarding Truma, the Pasuk says, Vas Koyen Kisil de Ishzor, that when a Bas Koyen becomes true an Ishzor, and that means not only marriage, Kivin she Nival al Apostle law, as soon as she had relations with somebody who was possible to her, such as a mamzer or a nosin, or a goy, or anybody else, psola, then he passes her from ever eating truma, and also from marrying a koyin. So we would have thought that in that case, she's already considered desecrated in the sense that once she has relations with one of these people, a mamzer or a nosin or what have you, whether in or outside of marriage, already she's lost a certain degree of her status as a bas koyen that she can never eat truma, even when she's away from the guy. Even when she's divorced, or if they never got married in the first place. And furthermore, the Levi Yisrael Nami, and furthermore, as far as a Levi or Yisrael, they don't passel her from eating truma just by being boil her, but the Pasuk says, V'shovel Beisaviyah Kinureha, the Pasuk says only when she returns, if she's childless and her husband dies or divorces her, and she returns to her father's house like she was when she was young, from which we learn, in other words, that if her husband dies or divorces her and she's childless, then she's able to go back to eat truma. But as long as she's married to the Levi of Yisrael, she's not allowed to eat. She's not allowed to eat truma. So again, in a certain sense, she's already been degraded from the kedusha of the kahuna by marrying men. So now you would have thought, without the Braisa telling us, that she wouldn't be punished with Srefa for being Mizana either, because after all, she's already, to a certain extent, Mechulelas. That's what the Braisa meant when it said that she's not a Kohenes, meaning that she doesn't have the full status of a Kohenes at this point, as far as being able to eat Truma. Kamash Malan, therefore, the word Ish tells us it doesn't matter, the fact that there was this degree of chilul beforehand, the fact that now she was mezana, that creates the real chilul that makes it a sabriya hi mechalelas, and therefore that she's chayev seifa, even though previously already she had been married or had relations with somebody who was unsuitable for her. And the Gemara points out, udeloy ked Rav Meir. That being the case, then, that means that our braisa is not like Rav Meir. Ditznan. We learn the Tanya, really supposed to be Ditznan, because it's a Mishnah in the Sefer Trumas. Bas Koyin Shinisis Yisrael, a daughter of a Koyin who marries Yisrael. So now, she's also to Truma as long as she's married to the Yisrael, or as long as she has children from him. So the Ochla Truma, if she eats Truma B'Shoigig, now you have like this, the Torah tells us that if a Zor eats Truma B'Shoigig, they have to pay the Koyen, the Keren, the actual value of the Truma, plus a Choymesh, plus 25%. What they do is they actually you don't give the Koyen money, you give the Koyen the same type of fruit, and the same type of produce, and it becomes Koydish, it becomes Truma. So now, Rav Meir says that if a bas, so now the Tanakama in this Mishnah, which is going to be, as we're going to say further, Rav Meir says that if a bas koyin is married to Yisrael, but ochla truma, if she eats truma b'shoigig, mishalemes is a keren, she does have to pay the keren, the actual value of the truma, because in effect she stole it. The ein mishalemes is a choymesh, however she does not have to pay the choymesh, because that applies only to a zur, and she's not fully considered a zur, or a zora, because after all, there is the possibility eventually that she might be able to return to eating truma. So right now, she's the wife of a koyin. Right now she's the wife of a Yisrael, rather, and therefore she's not allowed to eat truma, but nevertheless there is the possibility later on in life, if her husband dies or divorces her and she's childless, then she's able to go back to eating truma. So even now you can't really consider her a Zora altogether. Therefore, says Rav Meir, if she ate truma b'shoigig, you can't consider her a Zora who ate truma. You can consider her basically like somebody who stole truma. So she just pays the keren, not the chaymesh. And if such a woman were to be mezana, only sasa b'sreifa, then she would be chayiv sreifa, because again, she's a bas koyin. But nisus l'echad min apsulin, but Rav Meir continues, if she had married somebody who was posel, such as a cholol or nosin or mamzer, etc., then she's permanently barred from eating truma, like we just said. Therefore, mishalemes keren v'choymesh. Therefore, now she's considered a full-fledged zor, and therefore she would have to pay a keren v'choymesh if she ate the truma b'shoigig. Umi sasa b'chenek. However, if she's mezana, then her nisa is no longer a strefa. Now she gets downgraded to chenek because she's not considered at all a bas koyin. Divrei Rav Meir, that's what Rav Meir says. Either way, even if her husband was one of the psulim, she still pays only the keren, not the choymesh, because they hold that the concept of paying the choymesh only applies to somebody who was a zor their entire lifetime, as opposed to she didn't start out as a zor. She was a daughter of a kohen when she was still living at home. As an unmarried girl, she was able to eat truma. So therefore, they say even now that she's a zorah, she's not chayav the choymesh, umisasim b'sreifa, and either way, their misa is sreifa. So we see that the chachamim hold that, as we said in our braisa, that even if she's married to a cholol or nosin or what have you, then she still is getting srefa because she still is a bas koyin. Whereas we're saying Rav Meir would disagree with that concept and says that once she's lost her status as a bas koyin in the sense that she's never going to be able to eat truma again, then he would say she gets chenek instead. So therefore, so our braisa is clearly not according to Rav Meir. Okay. Now, the Braisa had said, the last line of the Braisa had said, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, es avia b'sreifa, ves chamiha b'skila. Rabbi Eliezer said, es avia, there's sreifa, and es chamiha, her father-in-law, there is skila. So we have to figure out what does that mean. My es avia, ves chamiha. What do we mean by that? Ilema es avia me avia es chamia me chamia. Does it mean es avia would mean if she's mezana with her father, then there's srefa, because as we said before, father and his daughter, there's srefa. And if she's mezana with her father-in-law, then there's skila. That's perfectly true, but my area, bas koyin, then why mention a bas koyin? I feel a bas Yisrael nami. The same thing applies to a bas Yisrael. Bitei b'srefa v'kalosei b'skila. The fact is, as we're going to learn in the continuation of our Masechta, a man has relations with his daughter-in-law, then they're chayiv skila. A man has relations with his daughter, they're chayiv srefa. So there's no reason to single out a bas koyin in that regard. So we can't understand Rabbi Eliezer that way. Ella, rather what we're going to say is Es Aviha v'Rishus Aviha. So we're going to say the words Es Aviha means when she's in the Rishus of her father, namely she's in Arusa. Es Chamiya would be Rishus Chamiya, and the words Es Chamiya, her father-in-law, would mean when she's in the Rishus of her father-in-law, maybe after the Nisur, namely after the Nisurin, where at that point she's out of her father's Rishus, and she and her husband live somewhere near his parents. Not, by the way, in the same house as them. The Gemara mentions elsewhere that a son-in-law, that a newlywed couple should not live with the chassan's parents. That can create all kinds of problems. But the point is that they generally live in the same area. Okay, well, the question is, Kiman. Then the question is, according to which of the opinions that we find on the subject of when a bas koyen gets sreifa, which opinion would Rabbi Eliezer be following then? Now, of course, Rabbi Eliezer is a Tana. He could argue with all of those. He could argue with all of those Tanoim. But nevertheless, we don't actually. The fact is that we'd still have to understand then. We'd still have to say then. How is he going to understand the? How is he going to understand the pasuk? Every Tana, as we're going to go on to say now, every Tana who holds what cases the Bas Koyen is getting Sreifa has his own understanding of the Pasuk, but when it comes to Rabbi Eliezer, we don't find, we just find him making the statement, Es Aviha versus Es Chamiya, but without explaining how he learns it from the Pasuk. So that, and then anyway, why is he arguing against the other ones? Where is his source to argue against them? So the question is like this, Ikirabonon, if you're going to say like the Chachamim, who in our Mishnah said that Sfila is stronger than Sreifa, then Ha'amri Nesua Yatsis L'Sreifa V'Lo Arusa. Well, we also learned previously that they hold that only a Nesua gets Sreifa and not an Arusa, which is the opposite of what Rabbi Eliezer is saying. Rabbi Eliezer is saying, if we're going to understand Oviha as being Birshus Oviha and Chamiya as being Birshus Chamiya, then if Rabbi Eliezer is going to be saying the polar opposite of that, that if she's a Nesua, she's getting skila, and if she's an arusa, she's getting sreifa, and that's exactly the opposite of the chachamim. Which again, he can argue with them, but then what's his basis for that? The e could Reb Shimon, if Rabbi Eliezer holds like Reb Shimon, where in our Mishnah he said that sreifa is stronger than skila, and therefore we said that to give her sreifa would be an upgrade. The problem with that is ha'omar, but he also says achas arusa v'achas nesua b'sreifa. He says she's getting sreifa either way, whether she's an arusa or a nesua. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer is saying over here that only an arusa gets sreifa. The e could Rabbi Shmuel. If you're going to say that Rabbi Eliezer holds up Rabbi Shmuel, which we're going to learn on Omid Beis, where Rabbi Shmuel holds that the Bas Koyen is in fact talking only about an Arusa, Rabbi Shmuel agrees with the Chachamim that Skila is stronger than Sreifa, but nevertheless he says that Skila is stronger than Sreifa, nevertheless he holds that a Bas Koyen, an Arusa, who's Mizana, does not get Skila, but rather gets Sreifa. In other words, in terms of the actual din, he agrees with the Chachamim, but he is saying that only an Arusa gets Sreifa, which is a third possibility. We said, so only an Arusa gets Sreifa, according to him. A Nesua does not. A Nesua, according to him, would get Chenek. But the problem is, then how is Rabbi Eliezer saying that Es Chamiya there would be Skila if he's following Rabbi Shmuel, then it would be that he'd have to say that Es Chamiya there's Chenek, because that's what Rabbi Shmuel holds, that when she's in Nesua, that even though she's a Bas Koyen, she still gets the regular punishment for a Nesua who was Mizana, namely Chenek, and only when she's in Arusa does she go from Skila to Sreifa. So it comes out that Rabbi Eliezer is not like any of the three Tanoim. Now again, he certainly has the right to argue on any of the Tanoim, but on what basis is he doing that? So the Gemara says, no, that's not what Rabbi Eliezer means. And again, so it can't mean that it can't mean being Mizana with her father versus her father-in-law, because there's no Chiddush in a Bas Koyen. It can't mean when she's in the Rishus of her father versus her father-in-law, because then it doesn't match any of the known opinions on the subject. So Sholach Rovin Mishmeder of Yosef Bar Chanina Kachu Hiatzah Shal Mishnah. So Rovin sent a message from Eretz Yisrael in the name of Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina. This is how we need to explain the Mishnah. This is how we're going to explain Rabbi Eliezer. La Olam Kirabbanan. In fact, Rabbi Eliezer does agree with the Rabbanan that Sreifa is strictly when she's in Nesua. If she had been in Arusa, she would be getting Skila. So you're going to ask in that case, then what do you mean? The Chachamim are saying the opposite of what he's saying. The Hochikarma. What he means to say though is like this: kol, when he says es avia, when he says es avia b'sreifa, what he means is kol shehu lemata mimisas avia, in any case where her misa is less severe than the misa that there would be for a father and daughter, namely a father and daughter, as we said before, is Sreifa. So what he's saying is, any time when her Misa is going to be on a lower level than that, or my Nihu Nisua Bas Yisrael, namely a case of a Nisua who's not a Bas Koyan, who's a Bas Yisrael, De'ilu Nisua Bas Yisrael B'chenek, where normally she would get Chenek, which is according to the Chachamim, is the lowest of the four. Nevertheless, Hocha, but over here, Hocha, the Misa Savia, B'Sreifa. But over here, we're going to upgrade her to the same misa that she would have gotten had she been mezana with her father, namely Sreifa. So in other words, when Rabbi Eliezer says es avia b'sreifa, what he means is he's saying this woman, if she hadn't been a bas koyan and she's a nesua, she'd be getting chenek, like the chachamim say. However, because she's a Bas Koyan, then we treat her as though she had had relations with her father, where any woman has relations with her father, she's Chayav Sreifa, therefore he also, she's Chayav Sreifa. And then when Rabbi Eliezer says, as far as Chamiha, what he means is, V'chol Shehila Maila Mimisas Aviyah, anything which is higher and more severe than the Misa, for that would be for a girl with her father, or my Niu Arusa Bas Yisrael, namely an Arusa Bas Yisrael who's getting Skila, De'ilu Arusa Bas Yisrael Ba'alma B'Skila, that she's getting Skila, here we're going to downgrade her the Misa Chamiya B'Skila. We're going to give her the Misa, the same Misa that she would have gotten. We're not going to downgrade her, sorry. We're going to say that she gets the same Misa that she would have if she had had relations with her father-in-law, namely Skila, because as we said before, father-in-law and daughter-in-law is Skila. So in other words, in short, Rabbi Eliezer does agree with the Chachamim that only when she's an Arusa is she getting, that only when she's in a Suah is she getting Sreifa. If she was an Arusa, whereas a Bas Yisrael, she would get Skila. Then as a Bas Koyan, she's also getting Skila, but he's using this kind of mnemonic device to use that to say, in other words, that in the one case, she's getting the same Misa she would have if she had been Mizana with her father, and in the other case, she's getting the same Misa that she would have if she was Mizana with her father-in-law. Okay. The problem with that is maski for Rabbi Yumiya. So Rabbi Yumiya questions that. He says midi lamaila lamata katani. The fact is Rabbi Eliezer does not use the words lamaila and lamata. He just says es avia and es chamia. So it's a very nice pshetel, says Rabbi Yumiya. But where do you have any hint of it in Rabbi Eliezer's wording? He would have used the word lamaila and lamata in order to clarify that. Rabbi Yumiya says, no, don't understand Rabbi Eliezer that way. Rather, you're going to say in the end that Rabbi Eliezer does hold like Rabbi Shmuel, that only the Arusa, which is the opposite of the Chachamim, that only the Arusa gets Sreifa and the Nesua does not. The Nesua, according to him, gets Chenek. I didn't Rabbi Eliezer say that Eschamiya B'Skila, so how are we understanding that? So V'Hochi Kamar, so Rabbi Yumiya says, what Rabbi Eliezer means to say, Es avia means birshus avia. Es avia means when she's still in the rishus of her father, namely she's an arusa, then bisreifa, then she's getting sreifa. The es chamia, but when it says es chamia, means mei chamia, does in fact mean if she was mezana with her father-in-law, biskila, then she's getting skila. B'chol adam, but if she had been mezana with anybody else, b'chenek, then she would be getting chenek. So in other words, Rabbi Eliezer basically holds, like Rabbi Shmuel, that a bas koyin, arusa, is getting sreifa, Sua ordinarily would get chenek, but he's saying I am adding an extra twist that if she was mezana with her own father-in-law, then she gets upgraded to skila because in any case being mezana with her father-in-law gets her skila anyway. In other words, he would be saying that, listen, when it comes to a father-in-law, there's no difference between a bas koyan and a bas yisrael. Either way, she's getting skila. So now, before, when we did that, the Gemara asked, well, wait a minute, then what's the chiddush of a bas koyan, of any bas yisrael, would be the same thing over here. But here we're saying that, listen, the same way as you would say that there's an exception to for an arusa bas yisrael, she goes from skila to, she goes from skila to sreifa. Maybe the same way with the father-in-law, she should also go from skila to sreifa, and therefore we need to be told that not. So in fact, the Binyan Shloima explains actually that Rabbi Eliezer's main chiddush is the point that he holds like Rabbi Shmuel that only when she's an arusa does she get sreifa. The fact that he mentions eschamia is just because he mentioned esavia, so therefore he mentions eschamia as well, just to round things out. But really, it's true. There wouldn't be really much of a chiddush in it because any woman who's mezana with her father-in-law would get stila anyhow. Omar Rava, but then Rava says, Maishna, fine, but the problem with that answer is, then what's the difference? So what are you saying? That Es Avia in Rabbi Eliezer's statement has a different meaning than Es Chamia. You're telling me that Es Avia means when she's in the Rishus of her father, and Es Chamia doesn't mean in the Rishus of her father-in-law, but rather it means that she was Mizana with her father-in-law. And Rava says, Maishra, Oi Aidi Vaidi Mamish, Oi Aidi Vaidi Rishus. It should be consistent. Either both of them are talking about Znus with the person himself, the father or the father-in-law, or they should both be referring to when she's under his Rishus. But why are you splitting them up and saying one's talking about Rishus and one's talking about Mizana with him? Elo, Omar Rava, so rather Rava says, Lo Olam Kirib Shimon. We're going to answer that Rabbi Eliezer agrees with Rabbi Shimon that Srefa is stronger than Skila. Now Rabbi Eliezer had held, therefore, that Rabbi Shimon had learnt from the Psukim that both an Arusa and an Asua get Srefa. So he would say an Arusa who normally would get Srefa normally an Arusa would get Skila, he or she being upgraded to Srefa, because according to him, Srefa is more severe, and an Asua who normally would get Chenek is also being upgraded to Srefa. So Rabbi Eliezer holds like Rabbi Shimon as far as the order of the Dalet Nisus is based in. But Hasava, Rabbi Eliezer, Nesua ka'arusa. However, Rabbi Eliezer holds that a Nesua, who is a Bas Kohen, is like an Arusa. Ma Arusa cha darga maskinim la. So he says like this, consider by an Arusa, you're taking her up one level. Miskila l'sreifa. Again, following Rabbi Shimon, who says that Sreifa is harsher than Skila, it's one level higher. So he would say the same way as you're putting her one level higher, af nesua chad darga maskinah. The same way by nesua, we can only bring her up one level of misa. Mechenek l'skila. Now, given that according to Reb Shimon, the order is sreifa, skila, chenek, hereg, then it comes out chenek is only 1 degree below skila. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer says, unlike Reb Shimon, who's saying that both of them are getting sreifa, Rabbi Eliezer is saying, no, wait, the most you can do, even if we agree with you, Reb Shimon, about the order of the Dalet Nisus based in, about the order of severity, nevertheless, we can't upgrade her more than one level, and therefore, that means that if she's a Nesua, then she's going only to Skila and not to sreifa. So that would be, so that explains things neatly, says Rava. So it comes out that it is true that Rabbi Eliezer is a different opinion. So fine, again, Rabbi Eliezer is a Tana. He's able to argue with the other Tanoim, but now we understand the rationale behind it. Before we were asking how is he arguing with the Tanoim, on what basis, now we're saying we have a basis. His logical basis is, yes, I agree with Rabbi Shimon about the order of the Dalet Nisus based in, but I disagree with him about the idea that in the case of an Nesua, we should bring her up all the way from Chenek, which according to Rabbi Shimon is third, all the way to Srefa, which is first. No, we can only bring her up from third to second, which is going to be that she's going to get skila. So therefore, according to that, both Esavia and Eschamia means she's in the Rishus of her father, meaning an Arusa, versus in the Rishus of the father-in-law, which is a Nesua, as the case may be. The problem with that is Maskefor Rav Chanina, her Aidi v'Aidi Rav Shimon v'Sreifa Kamar. The fact is that the fact is that Rav Shimon had clearly said they both get Srefa. So where are you getting to invent that here, Rava, you're saying that Rabbi Eliezer represents a fourth opinion and he only agrees with Rav Shimon about the order of the Dalet Nisus based in, but he disagrees as far as the Nisus. Rav Chanina's problem with that is where are you getting that from? You want to say on what basis would he be saying that? We have a logical basis that we just said, but still, after all, we have limudim that the various chachamim are learning of what cases the bas koyin gets sreifa, and. So we're going to have further down on the Amud, Rabbi Shmuel is going to make a Binyan Av. So if he uses that Binyan Av like Rabbi Shmuel does, then you're going to say that it means that it applies, that it applies a quote. So if he doesn't hold of that Binyan Av, rather, then he would have to say like Rabbi Shimon, both of them are getting Srefa. If he holds of the Binyan Av, then it would be only an Arusa. So we're, yes, you could say that he argues on them, but after all, he has to have a basis in the pasuk for that, and where would we have that? So therefore, Rav Chanina says we can't accept Rava's explanation. So Ravina says, fine, we're going to have to say that Rabbi Eliezer holds like the Chachamim, the Epoch, but we have to flip around the two things that he said. Es Avia b'skila v'es Chamiya b'sreifa. That Es Avia, meaning when she's in the reshus of her father, then she's getting skila. Because she's an arusa, the es chamia, and when she gets chamia, and when she's in the rishus of chamia, when she's already fully married, the sreifa, then she's getting sreifa because the chacham say as a bas yisrael she would have gotten chenek, and now as a bas koyin instead she gets sreifa. So how did the mistake come in the Braisa in the first place? To flip it around, the fact that it said the word es avia rather than using the words arusa or nesua, silcha ba'alma nakat, is because he's using the Loshen Apostic, which is based on the Tanakama who was darshaning. Before we had the long Braisa, we had the Braisa beginning on Nunam and Beis that discussed the meaning of the Apostic, Vasish Koyim, Kisecha Liznes, Es Aviha, and he mentioned the word Es Aviha, which comes from the Apostic. So now the Tana of our Braisa also used this Loshen as well. But so Rabbi Eliezer, because after all, continuation of the same Braisa, so he also used the word Es Aviha because the Tanakama had just been darshaning it. But he means Es Aviha in a different sense. The posuk es avia means that she's in nesua and she's desecrating her father, and therefore she's getting sefer. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer is using es avia in a different sense to mean that she's under the reshus of her father, namely that she's an arusa. So Tosfos also adds that would also explain how it is. We just said, according to Ravina, we're saying we have to flip around the two things in the Braisa. How did that mistake come in the first place? Is because, since the Torah says Es Aviha and mentions Sreifa, so whoever taught this Braisa misunderstood Rabbi Eliezer and thought that he means to say Es Aviha is Sreifa, because after all, that's what the Pasuk says, but really it's the other way around. Rabbi Eliezer is using the words Es Aviha in a different sense than it does in the Pasuk. Namely, he's using it to mean an Arusa, and therefore, the correct thing is that he says that it's the skiller, which would be like the Chachamim. Okay, and then Tosfos also adds, as we learned before, a father and daughter is also chayav sreifa, so that would be another reason for the later Tana of the Braisa, the Tanoim who taught over this Braisa in the name of Rabbi Yazar, to mix it up and to think that it means Es Aviha, means that she was Mizana with her father and gets sreifa. So we had several different ways of understanding the Braisa. So the Gemara continues, Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Rav Bavu, Omer Rav, Halacha kidesh sholach Rovin Mishmeid Rabbi Yosi Rav Chanina. The bottom line halacha in this is the way that Rovin sent in the name of Rabbi Yosi Rav Chanina, that Rabbi Eliezer agrees with the Chachamim of Bas Koyin is getting Sreifa only if she's in Nesua, where otherwise she would have gotten Chenek, but on the other hand, if she's in Arusa, where she's supposed to be getting Skila, then a Bas Koyin also does. So the halacha is like that. Amar Rabbi Yosef Hilchasa L'Mashiach. So Rabbi Yosef asks, why are we doing a halacha that's only relevant L'Moyes HaMashiach? We can't do Dalad Mrs. Beis Din nowadays. So now Tosfos points out, first of all, Abaya is going to point out over here in the Gemara, listen, we learn all of Hilchas Kodshim, but Tosfos says that when the Gemara asks Hilchas HaMashiach, the question would be that, first of all, it's something that we can't do now, but second of all, it also is only with an Isser. In order for this whole point to be relevant, she has to have done an Isser. She has to have been Mizana. L'Moyes HaMashiach, we're not going to have that kind of thing. Or even if we do, whatever, we don't need to pask in Hilchas HaMashiach for some rare case like that where somebody might do an Aveda. In other cases, of course, we need to know the halachas of Kodshim. We need to know all kinds of halachas that are going to be relevant only L'Moyes HaMashiach, but those don't involve Avedas. So therefore, the Gemara doesn't ask on that in other places. So Tosfos also points out there can also be sometimes you might have something where on the face of it it's Hilchas HaMashiach, but it also has a nafka mina for nowadays. Nowadays we don't necessarily have a nafka mina from this particular detail of which case does the Bas Koyin get Sedeka. Anyway, so Rabbi Yosef is asking, therefore, why are you bothering to pass in halacha? Only Abai, when Mashiach comes, when the Sanhedrin is reestablished, then they can pass in it then. Omalei Abayas, Abayas, what do you mean, Hilchas HaMashiach? Elamei Ata, Shchitas Kodshim Loilisni, Hilchas HaMashiach. You're going to tell me we shouldn't learn the halachas of Kodshim, the halachas of Shechting, the whole Masechta Zvachim. we shouldn't learn, because it's also Huchsal Mashiach, Ela Drosh for Kabbal Schar. Obviously, the answer is Hashem expects us to darshan it, to learn it, and to receive a schar, and after all, Kol Oisik, Vitoras Ola Kili Ukruv Ola, etc. So therefore, so there is schar to be gotten from Hashem for learning it. Hochanami Drosh for Kabbal Schar. So here also you could say that Hashem expects us to learn it and to receive a schar, even if there's no Nafka Mina for it, even if there's no Nafka Mina for it in Halacha. And in fact, in other places, the Gemara mentions even sometimes that we want to be able to understand Pesukim, even when we're talking about something that happened in the past as a one-time thing. So what are you asking Rabbi Yosef why we need to paskin the halacha over here? So the answer is, what the Gemara says is, Hochi Ka'amri. Rabbi Yosef explains, what I meant to ask is like this, Hilch Salam Ali, why do we need to say the halacha is like Rovin, Sugya Deshmaita Halacha Ka'amar. This whole Sugya that we've been talking about to explain this Braisa, is this something which is Negea La Halacha? We're saying there are two different opinions, there are two different we ended up with two possible explanations of Rabbi Eliezer, what he means, es avia b'sreika v'es chamia b'skila, one that we had Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina's explanation, that in fact he does hold that way, and the other explanation of Ravina, that he flips it around, but either way, it's just to understand Rabbi Eliezer's lashon. So what did Rabbi Eliezer actually mean? When Mashiach comes, when this Tchias HaMeisim, we can ask Rabbi Eliezer himself what he meant. We don't need to now paskin halacha as if to say this is the definitive way to understand Rabbi Eliezer. Says Rabbi Yosef, I don't understand why you need to do that when it's not something which is negeya la halacha. It's just something to properly understand Rabbi Eliezer's words, and for that we can wait till Mashiach comes and we ask him ourselves. Okay. Now, in the course of the sugya, so therefore, so that's that. So now we've explained the whole braisa. But now, in the course of the discussion, we mentioned the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, who says that as far as a bas koyin, only an arusa is getting sefer and not an asua. So the opposite of the chachamim. So let's analyze that. My Rabbi Shmuel, where do we find Rabbi Shmuel's opinion, and where does he get that from? D'tanya. We learn in a braisa when it says uvas ish koyin ki seichel lizno. It's the same pasuk that a daughter of a koyin, when she desecrates herself and is mezana, b'naira v'hi arusa kosa medaber. This is talking strictly about a naira who is also an arusa. So before, when we started discussing this point on Nunum Adbeis, we said it's not. We had actually a Gzeira Shava to say. That it's any time there's zika sabal, any time that there's a connection with a husband, whether she's a naira morosa or not, and we said because the pasuk says vas koyin mikol makim. So now our braisa, according to Rabbi Shmuel, is taking a different view of it. So the pasuk says ki seichel lizness b'naira v'arusa kosa medaber. It is talking strictly about a naira who is arusa. After Omer b'Naira v'hi Arusa in El Afil the Nesua, maybe not. Maybe like we learned in the earlier Brisa, maybe it means a Nesua as well. No, Talmud Loimer like this. You have a different pasuk that says Ish Asher Yinafes Eishes Re'ehu, a man who commits Znus with someone else's wife. Most Yumas and Noyafah Noyafes. Then both the Noyaf and the Neyafes, both the Boil and the Nivelas get are Chay of Misa. Now, when it says most yumas without specifying means chenek. So that is where we learn that when an eshes ish is mezana, then there's chenek involved. Now, hakol hoyu b'chol hanoyafan efes. So, says Rabbi Shmuel in this braisa, that so far, based on that one pasuk, most yumas hanoyafan efes, it would mean that the general rule across the board for an eshes ish was mezana, that she and her boyel are chayiv chenek. Now the Torah specifies that a Bas Yisrael who's a Naira Marasa is getting skila, and there's also an exception carved out that a Bas Koyin gets Srefa. So Rabbi Shmuel makes a binyan av. What case is it where the Torah is saying that a Bas Yisrael is an exception to the general rule of Chenek and where she's getting skila is Arusa v'lo Nesua, strictly when she's an Arusa? Asked, same way, says Rabbi Shmuel, the same way when the Pasuk is excluding a Bas Koyin and saying she doesn't get Chenek, she gets Sreifa, is also the same case, Arusa v'loy Nesua, only when she's an Arusa, not when she's in Nesua. So that is how Rabbi Shmuel, so here in the Braisa on Nunum Adbeis that we started learning today, we said that the Chachamim had said we have Xeder Shova to teach us that it applies im zikas abal, but then we had the word of Askoyen to teach us that it applies whether she's an Arusa or an Asua, but here we have Rabbi Shmuel instead is using a Binyan Av to learn differently that it means only an Arusa. Now, Zememeho Uvoyala continues Rabbi Shmuel. What about Edim Zememen against her? And what about the Boyle himself? They would have been included in the usual rule of Vasisim Loikasha Zamam, and therefore we would say that they would get Sreifa as well. So the Gemara interjects, what do you mean? Boyle, my Kasha Zamam Ika. How does Boyle come in with the Kasha Zamam? Ella, no. What it means is Zememeho Bechlal Misas Boyle. What Rabbi Shmuel means to say is the Zememen. Oh, it's not a question, but it's rather a statement. The Zoymimin are included in the same Misa that the Boyal is getting. Namely, as we said before, the Bas Koyen, even in the cases where she's getting Sreifa, her Boyal is getting whatever punishment there would be for the regular case had she not been a Bas Koyen. So Skila or Chenek, as the case may be. The Edim Zoymimin are doing the same, are the same kind of thing. They are also getting the Misa that would apply to the Boyal and not to, and not to, and not to the woman, and not to the woman. So therefore, not Sreifa. Mishum Shenema, because the Pasuk says, Vasisim Lekasha Zomam Lasis L'Ochiv, the Pasuk says about the Edom Zomim, due to them, as they plotted to do to their brother, from which we learn, L'Ochiv, V'loy La'achoysoy, not to his sister. So that the Pasuk is telling us, that the Pasuk is not telling us that Edom Zomim against the woman are not punished. What it means is, it's telling us that when there's a difference in the Misa between the man and the woman, as in this case, then the Misa for the Edom Zomim is the one that would have gone to the husband, not to the husband, to the Boyle, rather than to the Nivellus. Now, Tosfos brings up the point that on Omer Aleph, we already learned there was a different limud for that. We have the word he, from which we learned that only he gets Sreifa and not the Boyle and not the Zoymen. So why do we need a different limud over here from the word L'Ochiv for this? And the answer is because that wouldn't have told us not the Zoymen. After all, you need Kasha Zomam, so therefore you need the word L'Ochiv. And on the other hand, you would say, that if you only had the word he, then you would think that only when they're giving Eidos on the boil, then we would say that instead the word he tells us that they don't get her Misa, but if they weren't giving Eidos on it, as we've talked about before, about what Tosfos says at the beginning of Makkos, that when they're not giving Eidos on the boil because he's a cotton or because he ran away or whatever, then in fact Tosfos learns that then they would in fact get her, they would in fact get her Misa, so we need both Psukim to tell us otherwise. Okay. So all of that is, so Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. So far, all of this Braisa so far is according to Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva says, no, you're telling me that only an Arusa gets, Sreifa because of your Binyan Av. Rabbi Akiva says, no, Achas Arusa, Achas Asua, Yotzes L'Sreifa. When it says that a Bas Koyen gets Sreifa, it means both an Arusa and an Asua. Yochel afil Pnuya, so then you would think that maybe it means a Pnuya as well. No, that's what we have, like we said before, Nemakan Aviyah, Venem Lahalan Aviyah, because we have the Xer Shava on the word Aviyah, Malahalan's Nusim Zikazabal, Afkan's Nusim Zikazabal, so it has to be that there's a connection with a husband, either Erisin or Nisuin, but nonetheless, it can, and therefore it can't mean a Pnuya, but it's not only an Arusa like you, Rabbi Shmuel, are saying. Omalei Rabbi Shmuel, so Rabbi Shmuel says, if you can learn from Xeder Shova, I malahalam nairav hi arusa, afkan nairav hi arusa. Well, in that case, then shouldn't it apply only to a naira marosa, just like it does over there, if you're going to learn from Xeder Shova. Omalei Rabbi Akiva, so Rabbi Akiva says, Shmuel Ochi, Vas Uvas ani Dorish. I'm darshaning from the extra vav in the word Uvas, whereas we learned in the Braisan, Nunam and Beis, that when it says Uvas Toyin Mikol Mokim, that it means regardless whether she's an Arusa or not, we add that also that even if she's in a Sua, she's also Chayav Sreifa. So again, as we said, that Rabbi Akiva darshens the Vav, and we said before, the other Tosfos had mentioned the other possibility that the earlier Braisa was according to Rabbi Shimon, who does darshen the Vav, but also holds about when Kiddushin or Tosfos, but in the case of Rabbi Shmuel, in the case of Rabbi Akiva, is saying that yes, that drosha of Vas Uvas is my drosha, and that's how I know that also it applies to a Nesua. Are you telling me because of the extra vav, you're going to darshan and you're going to say that the Nesua is accepted from Chenek and instead gets Sneifer, you can't do that way. If you're going to tell me that the Vav is including a Nesua, then it also has to include a Pnuya. And yet you're agreeing that a Pnuya is not getting Sneifer. If you're going to tell me that it excludes a Pnuya, then you have to exclude the Nesua as well. So in other words, one way or the other, you have my Binyan Av, which tells you that it applies to and Arusa, you want to argue on the basis of the Vav to also include more cases, but then you have to be consistent. Either it's both an Asuya or it's both a Pnuya and an Asuya, or neither one of them. So the answer is, so what Rabbi Akiva answer to that? He says, because we have both. The Gzeda Shava from the word Aviyah tells us it doesn't apply to a Pnuya. On the other hand, you have the Vav, but Uvas tells us to include the Nesua. So he's not being inconsistent. He has different limudim for different ones of them. So why would Rabbi Shmuel bring up the point in the first place? He thought that since Rabbi Akiva had brought up the Vav of the word Uvas, maybe he thought that Rabbi Akiva had retracted his Gzeda Shava. In other words, maybe Rabbi Akiva had started by darshaning from a Gzeda Shava, but then realizing that the result of that would be that it applies only to an Arusa, and he holds that it includes an Asura as well, then therefore he would be going back, he would be retracting his Gzeda Shava, and said, instead, I'm learning just from the word, from the Vav of the word Uvas, in which case, Rabbi Shmuel is arguing to him in that case, then it would have to include a Pnuya as well. So Rabbi Akiva's answer is that no, I'm actually still using both of them, I'm not retracting the Gzeda Shava, I'm just saying that in addition to the Gzeda Shava, there's also the Vav. Okay. So the question then is, Rabbi Shmuel, how you bas uvas my dorish bay? What about according to Rabbi Shmuel? What is he doing with the vav of the word uvas? Now, of course, the Gemara could have answered very simply that Rabbi Shmuel doesn't hold that we learn anything from the extra vav. There are Tanoim who hold that we don't learn anything from an extra vav. An explanation based on the Ramban is that since Rabbi Shmuel is saying it sounds like he's saying, sure, there's reason to darshan the Vav, but why is that a reason to say that it includes an Asura? Maybe it includes something else. So evidently Rabbi Shmuel agrees that you can learn from a Vav. He's just saying that I don't agree that we should learn the Nesua from it. So what is he doing with the Vav? The answer is he uses it to teach us what we learn in the Braisa that the father of Shmuel Ba'oven taught. We find that the Torah makes a distinction among Meo Koyanim between whether they're tmimim, whether they're unblemished, versus whether they have a mum. Where a Koyan is a Tom, can serve in the Mesnefesh, one who's a Baal Mum cannot. Yochol Nachlik with Nisehen, maybe there should be a similar distinction between women, between daughters of Koyanim, that only if they're Tmimim are they Chayef Sefer, and if they're Baal, and if they're Baal Mumin, we should not. Rabbi Yosef Engel points out in Gilyon Ashas, we see also, after all, that by a Bama, a woman can do the Avoda, whereas a Baal Mum cannot. So we see that even among women, there can be a difference sometimes between a Tumen and a Baal Mum when it comes to the Avoda and a Bama, and during the few times in Jewish history when you were allowed to bring Korbanos outside of the Beis Hamikdash. So you would think maybe we should have the same distinction over here. Tumen Lama, Bas Uvas, therefore we have the Vav, teaches us that not, regardless, she's getting Sreva. Rabbi Akiva would answer, I don't need the Vav for that. Me vehem makrivim v'hoyu kodesh nafka. We learn that from the fact that it says that the koyanim are doing heim makrivim, and there's no Vav over there. Heim makrivim v'hoyu kodesh. The pasuk says that the koyanim are kodesh to Hashem, and then it says v'hoyu kodesh. That means even balei mumim have the kedusha of koyanim. So unless otherwise specified, balei mumim have the kedusha of koyanim. And here, since it doesn't specify by uvasish koyan that there's a difference between shmimim and balei mumim, then you're not going to invent a distinction on your own. Rabbi Shmuel still would answer, Rabbi Shmuel would have said that applies maybe to the men who do the avodah, but it's sehen lo, you wouldn't know that it applies to the women as well. Kamash Malon, therefore the word uvas toyin, according to him, comes to add that women who are balei mumim are also subject to this din of sreifa. So it comes out both of them are darshaning from uvas toyin, but they're darshaning different things. Rabbi Akiva that it includes a nesua, and Rabbi Shmuel that includes a balas mum. And according to Rabbi Akiva, the fact that it includes a balas mum, we learn from a different pasuk. Okay, so then we'll continue analyzing tomorrow, Beth Hashem, what the opinions of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. But so far, what we have is, so far, again, we have three different opinions about when there's Sreifa for a Bas Koyen across the board, according to Rabbi Shimon, only by Nesua, according to the Chachamim, or only by an Arut, and Rabbi Akiva is one of the Chachamim in that regard, and only by an Arut, according to Rabbi Shmuel.